Number two, he also said, I know your tribulations. I know your tribulations. He knows all. Oh, praise the Lord. And please listen carefully. This was quickened to me as I was studying this verse. Like I said, I always ask questions. If he knows what I am going through, if he knew what the church was going through, oh, glory be to God. If he knows why the what the church was going through, the tribulation, the persecution, the afflictions that was coming upon the true believers, why did he ordain them to go through it? Why? There is a reason. Anytime God allows you to go through a difficulty, there is a reason. There is a purpose that will be achieved at the end of it all. Listen, church, it may be for your own good, but it may not even be for your own good. It may be to fulfill his own purpose. And you cannot question him. He's your maker. He's your creator. He purchased you with his own blood. You are his property. And he can use you for whatever he wants to use you. So out of curiosity, I want to know, okay, so why did God allow them? Out of curiosity. Praise the Lord. And this is the only reason. I know that God operates a principle of life, of bringing forth life. First, he's interested in producing life, in harvesting life, in harvesting fruits. That's why he uses the farm, cultivation, to help us to understand the kingdom. There is the planting season. There is the growing season. There is the rain falling. And there is the harvest time. And all that gospel according to nature is telling you about the gospel of salvation. And Jesus Christ came and used such terminologies as, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and dies, it abides alone. And God was using the death of Jesus Christ, or rather, the planting of a seed. You that are farmers, that you take one corn, you have it only one. If you are going to have more, it will not be by abracadabra. Hallelujah. There is a law that it will go through. First and foremost, that seed will be planted. That one seed. If you want it to produce for you. And that is what the Pentecostal preachers of prosperity, they catch and they teach. All that you have. And that is a fact. They are not wrong. They are correct. It's a biblical principle. All that the widow of Zarephath had was the last one she had. And God said, told Elijah, told her, knowing the principle, sow it on me. Amen. Sow it. Now, in sowing it, amen, it has gone. But where it is going, there is going to be a law that will bring back harvest. And the only child that Jesus, God had, for God so loved the world that he gave his only. The emphasis only. People don't know why they put that only what he has. Only one he has. He gave it. He sowed it. So that he can be the first among many bread. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That seed. Under the principle it operates, I am speaking about salvation, church. That's it. Under the principle of sowing and reaping, you will carry that your one seed of corn that will produce hundreds of corns later. You will plant it. The law says that seed will first die. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's read it. See the way he put it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? This is the way he put it. He said, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. The church of Jesus Christ was planted on the day of Pentecost, that church must die before it can be quickened for rapture. The seed that you sow, before it will begin to bring forth, inside that seed, there is a life inside. Hallelujah. Eternal life was in Christ Jesus. But before that eternal life can come out for people to benefit, it has to die. That seed will die. But there is a life that cannot die. Hallelujah. Now, that life will travel through a process. Oh, it will travel. It will move through a process of time. Glory be to God. It was on the third day that he resurrected. And when he resurrected, glory be to God. Matthew chapter 27, other graves were open. There was a resurrection. On earth here, the life that was in the Son, which is eternal life, now busted out and produced you and me today. Now, Jesus Christ is referred to as the first begotten from the dead. From him, we too, other children that we are dead, we were begotten. But if he did not die, he would have remained the only one. So, that is the principle you have to catch. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so you see the parable of the growing seed in Matthew, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I want you to understand also why he allows us to go through what we go through. Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God. So he wants to explain to you how the church age will go through. The church age is the kingdom of God, or known as the kingdom of heaven. He said, this is how it will be. As if a man will cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He says, he knoweth not how. But there is a principle. There is a law that is already working. I go to my father. He said, believe in God, believe in me also. In my father's house, there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. He went. But the church was inaugurated. He planted it and took off. Because there is a law that was ignited, that will immediately come into effect. The law of a seed dying first. The church must die first. The believer, you must die first. That is why we baptize by immersion. You must die. You must die first. That is what water baptism is speaking of. You demonstrate it physically. Very soon after the water baptism, after you have made up your mind, giving your life to Christ, you are now positioned to go through the next stage. And the next stage is all the worldly things, worldly attachments, worldly elements, they must die. You will die to yourself. It's a process, whether you like it or not. And it is better you yield yourself, because all must go through it. Except you are not a seed. Except you are not a seed. The church went through it. The individual too must go through it. Must go through it. You may not understand, but the time will come when you will understand. I gave my life to Christ in 1989. 1990 or so. I had a revelation. Travel up north that day. And quickly, I shared it with my wife. We were in the same hotel room. We went for a wedding. Up north there, Kaduna. You know what I saw? I saw a cup. A cup. In the sky. Now, first and foremost, I saw a city first. It was a city. Passing. With light. A real city. In the sky. Was moving. And I stood there in that revelation. I was saying, so this new Jerusalem is true. So this new Jerusalem is true. And then suddenly, I saw a cup without hands coming down, coming towards me. And I was telling everybody around, which cup is this? Are you people seeing this cup? Nobody was seeing it. Nobody was seeing it. The cup came and hung near me. Where I was standing under a tree, hung there. And then I went, I collected the cup. I said, can you? It was then they began to see the cup. I came out of that revelation. I told my wife. Before I told her, I meditated. Which kind of revelation be this? New Jerusalem. Yes, in the Bible. Cup, unko? Ha! Cup, now, hello! Fear caught me. And I collected it. And I'm happy I did not reject it. I collected it. And I was showing people, I can never forget that revelation. Fear. Because Jesus says, was praying, when he saw what he was going to go through, he said, if it were possible, let this cup pass me by. It was wahala. And I turned and told my wife, I said, Bill, I say, wahala, they my front. It prepared me like he prepared the Semenya church of what they will go through. That's why I say, the same condition, every true elect of God, you must go through. And God, like he prepared the mind of that age, he will also prepare your own, you too. You as an individual, that all that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. If your own never come, it will come. Nobody can dodge it. Hallelujah. That is what the songwriter says. Give me grace to follow. Abundant grace to follow. Give me grace to follow. I say,
your grace is enough for me.
What do you think inspired that song? When he saw what was before him. Hallelujah. You need to hear how Polycarp died. You need to see, read the story of how that old man died. How that old man died. Then you will know why that songwriter says, some through the waters, some through the flood,
some through the fire,
but all through the Lord, some through great sorrow, but God. In the night
is in, and all that they love.
See me through,
Lord Jesus, see me through.
Oh,
see me through,
Lord Jesus,
see me through. There is a way.
It's good you know this so that you condition your mind. If I tell you what I went through after in my Christian journey, if I give you my testimony, you believe that a man can go through that. Arrows blocked from people that can help me. When I was sharing with someone, there's some estate that I was and what I did to survive. He said, "Hey?" I said, "Yes." Amen. But when I remember that I collected the cup, it means I know there had no temptation taken you by such as is common to man. There's nothing that we go through that other Christians didn't go through worse. I hold on to that scripture. And therefore, I decided to condition my mind for the worst. I will cry. I will lock my door, cry with tears. Then I'll be talking to Satan. I don't talk to God, though, not Satan. Satan, I know why you are making me go through this. I know. But let me tell you, I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Come back to where? To nightclub. After I have seen Jesus. Come back to where? To womanizing. Fornication. In my house is why I've been chasing other women outside. Come back to where? Satan. So all this one you are doing now to stop what? So that what will happen to me? I have decided and have made up my mind.
I will serve the Lord.
See, when you reach that stage, hallelujah. He said, even if the Lord kill me, yet I will trust him. Job says so. And God is looking for more Jobs. How many people understand what I am saying? No, I didn't say how many people want to go through it. I can never wish you to go through it. My prayer is that he will give you what you are able to carry. But it will come. There's nothing we can do to stop it. And so, chapter 4. Hallelujah. Amen. Chapter 4, we are now in verse 28. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. It bringeth forth fruit of herself, by the working of a power that is within it. First the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. When the fruit is brought forth, is it not 3 days, 3 stages? But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately the rapture takes place. He put it in the sickle. Because the harvest is come. So that you will understand why the harvest, why the rapture has not taken place. The rapture will only take place when the seed that was planted, when it matures, it died, it began to grow. The harvest takes place only when you begin to see the same fruit that was planted produce again. The rapture will take place only when the church ages grow. And then, by the seventh church age, the maturity age, then when the church that was formed at Pentecost is formed again, when it is formed again, then you know the rapture will soon take place. I am repeating it. The rapture will not take place. Even as the Lord of the harvest, the owner of the farm, will not go for harvest until he sees the fruit formed, matured. Which fruit? He knows what he planted. Amen. He knows what he planted. Therefore, all the 6 church ages, they were nothing but the stages of the growth of the church. Until it reaches that stage where you see a group of people staying with the Bible faith, preaching what the apostles preached, the leadership of the Holy Ghost again put in place. God is in full control. Not some man-made organization where they have meeting and draw the do's and don'ts and the creeds and the dogmas and the doctrines that they believe they stand for. No! The church, the first church, was not like that. So you cannot come to harvest such a church. It will be a church that will be the closest to that which was planted on the day of Pentecost. But it must die. That is why he stood and was watching the law in action. That's why he allowed all those persecutions to take place. It must die. It was speaking of the condition of the Christian. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and verse 18. Brother Cosmos Maduka's favorite chapter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Two verses there. Okay, from verse 16. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. He was glorified after he suffered. Every one of us will also be glorified only after we have suffered. And don't take the teaching that tells you cannot suffer anymore because Christ has suffered for you. The type of suffering Christ suffered for you is the type of suffering that wipes away your sins. But the process of purification, if you are going to be purified as gold, you will go through fire. They mix up the gospel and confuse the people. When a genuine seed of God is in the hand of God, going through the process of perfection, then they will say, it means you are not right with God. As if evidence of being right with God is that everything around you will go normal. No! It's not like that. Verse 18. This is Apostle Paul telling the Romans, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, and none of you has the Holy Ghost more than Apostle Paul, are not worthy to be compared. You see why you should go through. Hallelujah. Jesus said the reason he went through, he said, for the joy that was set before him. He saw that if he can go through this suffering, he will be the King of Kings. For that reason, he's given a name that is above every other name. For the joy that was set before him, he was seeing the end of the suffering. He was seeing the end of the suffering. Therefore, it enabled him to go through whatever suffering was ahead of him. Because there is a crown of righteousness that is awaiting us. Hallelujah. I told you, I gave you this example several times. Those of us who were in the military that trained to be officers, who are those that train you? They are the people that you are going to be their commander later. They are the people that you are going to be their commander later. And they know that you are going to be their commander. So now that, and they will determine, their report will determine whether you will be a commander or not. Whether you will be commissioned officer or not. During the training. So during that training, they mess you up. I'll finish with you. What are you going to say if you're okay? I'm telling you, they humiliate us. A sergeant will humiliate you. Those of them in the training schools. They call you all manner of names. Everything they can call you. You are better than them. But when you remember that, it remains 3 months. I'll come and be your adjutant. I'll soon be your company commander. Don't worry. Like that. Yes, sir. I like that. What is making you to say yes, sir? The glory that is ahead. Hey, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.